sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. This is Messages on Demand.
Well, it's a real joy to be back in your homes again. Another time to be able to preach the Word of God. I appreciate you that have invited us into your homes, whether we be coming by radio or by internet or by playing a CD. It's a real privilege to be a part of your family today. And I trust that you'll pay special attention to the preaching of the Word of God. I'm glad that Jesus loved me. This one thing I know, as the singer said, that He did love me, and that He not only did He love me, He still loves me, and He'll always love me in spite of what I may do, say, or think. I'm glad that God still loves me, and He loves you. And not only does He love you, not only does He love you, but folk, He'll still love you in spite of what you may do, in spite of whatever you may think, in spite of whatever may come in your life. I'm glad that God still loves His children. Not only does God love His children, but I'm glad that God loves them who are not His children. God loves whosoever will, and I'm glad that God loves each and every one of us today. It's a real joy to know, and as they said, this one thing I know, He came into my heart, He came into my life, and He made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. And He can come into your life, and He can make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Would that you turn with us to the book of Jeremiah 31 and verse number 3. The Bible said, Jeremiah said, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." I want to read that one more time. "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Our Father in heaven, we thank you again, dear Lord, for the opportunity to bow in worthy heads before you this side of eternity. Father, we thank you for loving us, for saving us, for giving us life eternal. Thank you, Lord, for creating within us a clean heart, O God, and for restoring a right spirit within us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a new life. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing for us now. And Lord, we just want to thank you in advance for what you're going to do for us in the future. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to the heart of the listener today. And Lord, I pray that you'd touch our lips and loosen our tongue and give us the words to say that be pleasing unto thee, that would be food for their hungry soul. Lord, I pray that you'd boost up the power on this radio station today. They'll go out further than it normally will. Lord, they'll go out 30, 40, 60, 100 fold. And Lord, that it will accomplish, dear Lord, O God, what you please today. If there be any fruit that's ripe, ask, dear Lord, that you'd pick it today. Ask that you'd speak, Lord, thy servants hear. May not one individual turn a deaf ear to the word of God today. For it's in Jesus' name we do try to pray and ask it. Amen. Amen. Jeremiah said, he started off in chapter 31, verse number 3, he started off this third verse by saying, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me." You know, when somebody appears to you, what he's doing, to put that in old-fashioned Tennessee language again, that simply means when someone appears to you, he presents himself to you to get your attention. He's wanting to get your attention in order that you may look, that you may observe, that you may see, that you may watch, and that you may learn. And what Jeremiah is saying here today, he said there was a time in my early walk with God that he appeared or he presented himself to me to get my attention. Much like Moses in Exodus chapter number 3. When Moses saw the angel standing before that bush that burned and it wouldn't burn out and that burned with fire and it didn't burn out. And he's saying there was a time in my early life when I walked with God that he presented himself to me and he got my attention and I looked and I observed and I watched and I learned. Oh, listen, how we must allow God to speak to us that we might direct all, that we might direct all our attention on Him and to Him and look and see and observe and watch and listen and learn. Neighbor, there's so much that we, in this verse that I know we'll never be able to get it out, but I'm reminded that in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 12 and 13, Moses stood before the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 31, 12 and 13. Moses said, "Gather the people together, men and women and children, thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God." You know what we need to do? Neighbor, we need to do as Moses said, and we need to gather all the people together, that we may listen and we may learn and we may observe to do all the words of this law. And not only us, but that our children which have not known anything may hear and that they may learn and that they may fear or reverence the Lord your God. And that's what we need to do. We need to gather ourselves together that we might be able to look and observe and see and watch and learn. You know, the Bible said, Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9, Paul said, "Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him." Eye hath not seen, Paul said. Ear is never heard, neither has it entered into the heart, neither hath it entered in the mind of God the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But Paul went on to say, "But he hath revealed them unto us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." You know, Paul just actually, that wasn't an original that Paul quoted there. Paul quoted that because Isaiah had already said that many years before in Isaiah 64 and verse 4, when Isaiah said, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that wait on him." Neighbor, we need to pray that God would come, and we need to wait on God that he would come and appear unto us, and he might present himself for us. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 1. The prophet Isaiah said, "For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." I'm glad that we have the documented truth of the Word of God, that Paul said that it's never entered into their eyes, never seen, in our ears, never heard, and it's never entered into our heart the things that God has prepared for them that love him, because Isaiah said, since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither have they seen with their eyes, O God, the things that you have prepared for them. them that wait on you. I'm glad that if we'll wait on God, that we've got the promise of the Word of God that we'll mount up with wings as eagles, and we'll walk and not be weary, and we'll run and not be faint. But here in Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, he said, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, yea, and here and saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." You know how much God loves you? I won't tell you exactly how much God loves you. God loves you with an everlasting love. That simply means it's always, God's always going to love you. This one thing I know, God's always going to love me. And not only is God always going to love you, but he's going to love you forever. That's what that word everlasting love means. God's going to love you forever. And not only is God going to love you forever, but it seems like forever's already gone, God's going to continue to love you always, forever, throughout all eternity. And God said, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting," "I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Loving kindness, mercy, and favor. God said in verse number 33, he said, "I've loved thee with an everlasting love." He said, "I'll always love you. I'll love you forever, and I'll continually love you throughout all eternity. And not only will I love you throughout all eternity, but," he said, "with loving kindness have I drawn thee. With mercy have I drawn thee. With favor have I drawn thee." When you draw something, you know, you either, when you draw something, you go to the well and you draw water out of the well. You draw it out. You get an animal and you hook it to a wagon, or you hook it to a cart, and it draws that wagon. It draws that vehicle. You know what it does? It brings it forward. So when God said, "Yea, I have loved thee with everlasting love, there with loving kindness," he said, "I brought you out. With loving kindness, I brought you out." And in Psalm chapter 40, verse 1, Psalmist David said, "I waited patiently unto the Lord, and he inclined unto me and brought me up out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and set my feet on a solid rock, and he established my goings." Neighbor, David said, "I waited patiently unto the Lord." And not only did I wait patiently unto the Lord, but he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry, and he brought me out of that horrible pit. He drew me out. He drawed me out. He drew me, and he, not only did he draw me out, but after he took me out, he took me by my hand, and he continually draws me forward on a day-by-day basis. And the steps that I take, Psalm 37, verse 5, the Word of God said, Psalm chapter number 37, Psalmist David said, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and though he shall fall, he's not utterly cast down, for he upholdeth him with his right hand." God will deliver you out of that bondage. God will deliver you out of that life that you're living in. God will draw you out. He'll bring you out, and then he'll lead your steps forward in the way that you need to go. In Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse number 1, Apostle Paul said, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the spirit prince of the power of the air, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also you had your conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." That sounds bad, and it is bad. But verse number 4, he said, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us." For when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are you saved, and has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness to us through Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but that helps me. I don't know about you, but when I read verse number 4, it looks awful. The first 3 verses look awful bad, and it is very bad, and it is bad in your life because you're living according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the eye of the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. But Paul comes back and says, but God, who is not going to be, not will be, but is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us. God's rich in mercy with his great love wherein he loved us. I'm glad that God is rich in mercy, and he's rich in, and not only is it that, that's a reason he can have loving kindness on us forever. That's a reason, because he's rich in mercy and he's rich in favor. And neighbor, listen to me. God, the Bible said, God said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love that's never going to go away. Therefore, with loving kindness, mercy and favor, he said, I have drawn thee. I brought you up out of the horrible pit. You didn't know which way to go, so I took you by the hand and I lead you along. We just need to let God take us by the hand. You know, I didn't listen. We fail, you know, we fail a lot of time because we try to take God's hand. Neighbor, you don't want to take God's hand. You want God to take your hand. You take God's hand, you can turn loose. But if God takes your hand, God won't never turn loose. Psalm chapter 86 and verse number 5. The word of God says, for the Lord, our God, is ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all that call upon thee. What David say? He said, for the Lord our God is ready to forgive, and he's plenteous in mercy. Not only does his mercy last forever, but he's got enough to go around. He said he's plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon him. I'm glad that I'm serving a God that's got storehouse on mercy and grace and favor. And he's got an abundant supply. Psalm chapter 40, verse 1. Psalmist David said, David cried unto God. And he said, withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let not thy loving kindness withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. And let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Let thy mercy and thy truth, and let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. You see, God's love will preserve you. Not only will it preserve you, but the love of God will continually preserve you and keep you throughout, neighbor, the trials and through the things that the devil zeroes in on you with. And in Psalms 121 and verses 7 and 8. Here's what the Word of God says. Psalms 121, verse 7 and 8. Let me turn real quick so I can get it right. Psalms 121, verse 7 and 8. The Word of God said, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. He shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. What did David say there in Psalm chapter 40 and verse number 11?
Psalm chapter 40, verse number 11. He said, withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. And then in Psalms 121, verses 7 and 8, he said, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, and from this time forth even forevermore.
You know how long forevermore is? It's always, because it's everlasting. It's always, because it's forever. It's always, because it continues. David said there, behold, he said, withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. I'm glad that God's continually going to preserve me. Why? Because he loves me. How long is he going to love me? Well, he said, he told Jeremiah that he has a everlasting love. I'm glad that God has an everlasting love. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 1. The word of God said, John said, behold, look here. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. He said, look here, folks. What manner of love that the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the Son of God, or the sons of God. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 10. He said, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God loved you so much that he sent his Son to die for you and to be the propitiation, the covering for our sins. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 3, he said, not for our sins only, said he's the propitiation for our sin, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 16, Apostle Paul said, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, even the God our Father, which hath loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope through him, through grace. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said, himself, even God our Father, and God even our Father, which hath loved us, hath given us everlasting consolation. That's help. And there's that mercy again. There's that favor again. There's that help again. And hath given us everlasting consolation. And he didn't say hope through grace, but he said good hope through grace. Boy, there's so much in that verse. And I ain't got time to dig it all out today. He's given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. I don't know about you again, but that helps me. John chapter 13 and verse number 1. The Bible said, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. First of all, he loved them until he left this world and went back to the Father. But he loved them to the end. You know, God's going to love you till there ain't never going to be no God anymore. You say, well, God's going to always be here. God's going to always love you. Jesus is going to love you till Jesus doesn't exist anymore. You said, well, preacher, Jesus is going to always exist. Then Jesus is always going to love you. God will never die. So God will, therefore, God will always love you. Jesus will never die again. Therefore, the darling Son of God will always love you. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20, Apostle Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. I died with Christ.
Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Then the life that I now live in the flesh, I live unto the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus loved us all the way to the end. Neighbor, we need to love him all the way to the end. Apostle Paul said he did. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. I died with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living today, and I'm living a new life. I'm living a new life in Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, look here, all things are become new. Paul said, I'm crucified with him. And I not only am I crucified with him, nevertheless, I live. Why? Because I've got a new life. And the reason I've got a new life is because I've been born again, and I am a new creature. Creature in Christ Jesus. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live under the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I live under the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. God loved you so much that he gave the best thing that he had, the darling Son of God, to go to the cross of Calvary to suffer and bleed and die, shed his precious life's blood for you, that you could have eternal life and have a home in glory. How much more should we be beholden to him because of what he did for us than all he expects us to do in return is to die to that old sin and to die to that old life. And to die to that old way of being that we used to live in, where Paul said, back to Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened, the word quickened means brought to life, and you who he hath quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us. God loved you to give his son. Do you love him enough to give your all? Father, I ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you'd send a convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, to every ear that's listening today, every ear, Lord, that's hearing the word of God, Lord, may they take heed to the word of God. And Lord, may they dedicate and rededicate their lives to you. In Jesus' name, we try to pray next week. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to Messages on Demand. If you have been blessed by this message, please let us know. You may contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us. Again, that's pastor@tlhf.us. Or by clicking on the Contact Us button on the homepage of our website, www.tlhf.us. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production, a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship.